Amen.
Shout this louder than anyone around you.
By the power in the blood of Jesus, this year I will sing my song and dance my dance. Open your mouth and declare it. I will sing my song and dance my dance. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this first Wednesday service of the year. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, open our understanding today. Lay your hands upon our lives. Help us to war a good warfare. Give us peace to march through this year in signs and wonders. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you sit down, I'd like you to prophesy into the life of 7 persons. Look at somebody straight in the heart. Say, my friend, this year you shall have more than enough. In the name of Jesus. Say to 7 persons. Amen. Don't sit down yet. How many people know what it means to laminate a paper? When you laminate a paper and you throw that paper into water, will the paper get wet? Go to 3 persons, tell them. So this year, the Lord will laminate you with the blood of Jesus. Turn to 3 persons and say the same. Amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles. We open to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you are there, say yes. When you cannot live and you cannot die. When you cannot live, when you cannot die. That is, when you cannot live and you cannot die. When you cannot live and you cannot die. Listen very, very carefully. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 says this: if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If thou hast run with footmen, you have been running with men on foot, and yet you cannot catch up, they weary thee. So when you are running with men on legs, you cannot catch them up. How will you catch up those who are running on horses? So now, if in the land of peace, where thou trustest, they are already wearying you, what will you now do when Jordan begins to swell? Listen very carefully. When you cannot live and you cannot die, what do we mean by when a person cannot live? It doesn't mean that the person is dead. It means that the correct life of that person has been disabled, or the correct life of the person has been stolen, or the correct life of the person has been transferred, or the correct life of the person has been buried, or the correct life of the person has been destroyed. The person does not have a correct life anymore. He is breathing, but the correct life is not there. Therefore, he is not living. Many times, when people's coffins are carried to the cemetery, and they are thinking that the man has gone to heaven, the man had died many years before that time, or he was not even living at all. If, for example, as you are sitting down there, you are supposed to be the fellow who has all the airlines in West Africa in your pocket, but because you did not live your correct life, has now been taken over by those who are not qualified to hold it, then you are really not living, but the person is existing. There is a difference between existence and living. I'm praying for somebody here tonight. That's your life that was stolen in the womb, and you have been seeing it in the dream, but you have not even approached it, let alone get there, this particular year. Whether it is convenient for the enemy or not, you shall get there. You shall get there. You shall get there. You shall get there. A sevenfold amen. When we say a person cannot live, we mean that you are a shadow of heavenly expectation. Your destiny is the expectation of heaven for your life. When the person is not even fulfilling the expectation of heaven, the person is existing but not living. When we say a person cannot live, we mean the person lacks the capacity to be useful. We mean that the real destiny of the person has become a mirage. We mean that the person does not know where to throw his net in the ocean of life. It means that the person is not going as is written of him in heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. That is, it's possible for the Son of Man to go as it is not written of him. That power that is making you to go as heaven has not written of you shall be buried tonight. In the name of Jesus. When you cannot live and you cannot die. When we say you cannot die, you yourself know that to do so, to die, is to make your enemies have the last laugh. You cannot die because you yourself, you know that a lot of destinies are attached to your destiny. You cannot die because you know if you kill yourself, you go to hellfire. Because that life does not belong to you. You cannot die because you know that your death will bring sorrows to so many people. Sorrow to so many people. Perhaps people are already telling you to forsake holiness because they can't see you living. People are asking you, who really do you think you are? People are asking you, who asked you to marry this person? People are asking you, did we not tell you that you are too serious with this your Christianity? Did we not tell you you will soon run back to us? Perhaps you are here. Those who want to mock you, they are larger in number than those who want to help you. Perhaps you are here too. People are already even concluding that you are finished. The doctor look at you and say, finished. The lawyer look, he say, finished. The consultant look, he say, finished. Perhaps you are here and you can see your enemies already laughing at you. And your enemies are even jubilating over your condition. Those who support you are no longer supporting you. In fact, your sole supporter is your sole enemy now. Perhaps you are here. Anywhere where you are supposed to be a blessing, they throw you out. Perhaps you are here. The enemy has already arranged to be broadcasting your name about as a failure. Perhaps your own case is even more serious than that. The enemy has issued death sentence against you. And you are already having strange dreams of eating with the dead and seeing dead relatives. Perhaps you check your life, you find that you have been surrounded by a satanic audience waiting for your downfall. And any small mistake you make, they applaud your mistakes. Perhaps you are here like Paul in that island. A viper has attached itself to your hand that wants to disgrace you and kill you openly. Perhaps they have surrounded you and said, "We shall see what your God shall do for you." Perhaps smiling has become a difficult job. These are conditions that go on where you cannot live, you cannot die. Perhaps you find that funds are low and debt is very, very high, and you don't know what to do. Perhaps right now, it is either God answers your prayer and gives you a breakthrough, or you are finished. Perhaps you are here. You know you have to get out of your present situation or everything ends. Perhaps you are here. You have acquired an array of mockers who are bent on putting you to shame. Listen. Just like that woman that came to Jesus, and after Jesus had solved a problem, the Bible now passed a small comment. The Bible says, then were her adversaries put to shame. There is somebody here. Your adversaries shall be put to shame. They 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 shall be put to shame. In the name of Jesus. And louder, amen. Perhaps you are here. The prediction of the experts is that you cannot make it, and it's already coming to pass. Perhaps you are here. You are trying your best. Somewhere along the line, you know that your hands are too short to box with the kind of enemy surrounding you. Too short to box with the kind of enemy surrounding you. It's like that South African girl who slept one night, woke up in the morning, and found that her two breasts had disappeared. Vanished. Flat. But before they ran flat, she had a dream. Her mother, her father, her husband, the father-in-law, mother-in-law, her junior sisters, all the women she knew in her family were gathered in a coven, all wearing black clothes. And she found herself at the center. And they said, "Well, we want to celebrate a party. And in that party, it's the only breast that we eat. So it's your two breasts that we need. You can remain alive, but no breast again." And she said she had a pain in the chest. To wake up and find the chest flat. Anyone here today, surrounded by such wickedness, surrounded by that kind of wickedness, let those wicked people destroy themselves. They shall 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 destroy themselves. Perhaps you are here. You have come to your wit's end. Anything you know how to try, you have tried it. Your friends have already forsaken you, and you are all alone. Perhaps there are plenty of unbelievers in your place of work, in the place you live, already asking you to show them that you have a God. You have made consultation, but nobody is ready to help you. Even those who want to help you, they are failing. Some of those who want to help you is beyond their ability, and you find that you are in a total mess. You find that you are totally down and you need help. And there is plenty of confusion and frustration. And the enemy is bent on keeping you at a standstill in life. You are in a situation where nothing anybody has tried can help. You are in a situation where man's knowledge has become useless. All help has fled and you are on your own. And everything seems to have failed. Even friends are becoming enemies. All the savings, all the incomes have dried up. You spend effort, time, and all kinds of things on your business. It has refused to move. All the wisdom and intelligence you have gathered and what you study in the university has not helped you. You have tried all the methods you know has been exhausted. Instead of things to improve, mockers are gathering themselves more against you. Every night there are these evil powers challenging God in your life. And the enemy has sucked you dry. The debts amount to the income is low. And you discover that the last rest of your destiny has been buried and embalmed. and the yokes are multiplying every day. And there is an evil assembly of unbelievers saying, you better join us. People are encouraging you to be disobedient to God in order to move ahead. You check your life and you find that shedding tears have become a regular affair. And the road you are traveling is becoming rougher and rougher. And anytime you are about to finish a good thing, the finishing malaria catches you and you cannot finish well. You have stayed so long in the boxing ring of life and your nose is already bleeding from the blows you have received. And rapidly, you are becoming an expert at finishing things that you should not even have started. You try to smile, but crying comes. Every effort you make, you experience effort failures. You know, without anybody telling you, that you are operating below your optimum standard. Something has been telling you that your treasure has been stolen. Something is telling you the enemy has put your treasure on the dungeon hill. And that the power of darkness has buried you in the coven of slavery and poverty. You can know that greatness is in your life, but the greatness has been locked up under the gates of brass and the bars of iron. You are held in permanent chains of fear. And good things are disappearing without explanation. And the enemy is putting a full stop on your moving forward. When you are under that situation, it's a situation where you cannot live and you cannot die. You cannot live and you cannot die. The Lord is telling you something here tonight. Jeremiah questioned God because of the adversity he faced. The Lord asked, however, how is he going to face the big challenges if these little ones wearied him? The Bible says, if you are weak in the days of adversity, your strength is little. The adversity and the problem you are facing today gives a clear picture of your future victory when you win it. So when you cannot live and you cannot die, the first thing to realize is that there is a school of affliction. There is a school of adversity. There is a school of trouble. Like I used to tell you, the second name for the earth is trouble. Let me give you this clear picture so you understand what we're saying. Adversity can sometimes be useful because it shows the kind of person you are. God sometimes uses the troubles to fashion us for better things. As a matter of fact, if pressure, tension, and discipline are taken out of life, nobody will be useful. When difficulties are surmounted, it makes you a champion. People may assist you, people may give you facilities, people may give you money, but those things don't make men. But obstacles and difficulties make men. And unless you do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow. So those trouble, afflictions you are facing, they bring out useful talents which in prosperous circumstances will never have manifested. That affliction, that adversity is like a knife. A knife can serve you depending on whether you hold the blade or the handle. If you hold the blade to cut you, if you hold the handle, you can use it to cut. That's affliction. So the best boxing partner is adversity. The one who keeps going, 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 when the effort becomes painful, is the one who will win. Somebody has said, if you never fired a shot, you've never fired a shot in your life, you have already gotten zero before you started. You don't even bother to fire anything. So before you even start the battle, it's zero. But if you start shooting, you may get some right, you may get some wrong. But if you never took it, you never even tried at all, you have lost the battle before you started. Are you here tonight? In 2011, you ran with footmen and they wearied you. In that time of adversity, your strength was small. You were weary that time. Now there are horsemen. You will need to do better than that of last year to contend with the horsemen of this year. Said, if thou hast run with footmen and they worry thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if it is the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they worry thee. Then how would thou do in the swelling of Jordan? There is something you need to know. God prospers us by information. Information will transform a man. Lack of information will deform a man. And I'll go into the A, B, C of what I'm saying here tonight, so that you will know where we are heading for tonight, and you know how to pray when the time comes. Close your eyes, beloved. Tell the Lord the way I'm going to say my own. Say, "My Father, command the arrows of affliction to go back to the senders. In the name of Jesus." In Jesus' name we pray. Now we go to A, B, C of afflictions. I'm going to take them one by one and offer a few explanations. If you listen to this very carefully, it gives you a master key to suppress every warfare the enemy will bring your way. A, as gold is tried, so God tries us. As gold is tried, so God tries us. In Job chapter 23, verse 10. Job 23, verse 10. If you're there, say yes. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Not all problems are bad problems. There are some problems that makes you to comfort as gold. The enemy that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they thought they were doing them harm. But they did them the greatest favor in life. When you threw them into the fire, the first thing that happened, their rope, bondage, broke. Miracle number one. The second thing that happened to them in that fire, for the first time in their life, they saw the fourth man in the fire, the Son of God. If they never threw them into that fire, they would not have seen the Son of God. That was the second thing that happened to them. Maybe if the enemy knew that would happen, they would not throw them inside. The third thing that happened to them was that it was that fire that promoted them. Because the king said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the living God. Only three of you are thrown into this fire now. But I say fourth person in the fire. And it looks like the Son of God." They said that, "Meshach, Abednego, come out." And they came out of the fire. They said, "Everybody should be serving their God." He promoted them. So the fire of the enemy only ended up promoting them. There is somebody here. Your problem shall become your promotion. Okay. "My problem shall become my promotion. By the power in the blood of Jesus." Shout it again. Amen. So what is A? As gold is tried. B, but joy cometh in the morning. But joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30 verse 5. Psalm 30 verse 5. Psalm 35 verse 5 says this. For his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And like I told you here before, weeping represents the night. Joy represents the morning. Fortunately, God has ordained the night to have an expiry date. The night is not forever. The night is a time of tribulation. So, but it may endure for just a night. For the woman with the issue of blood, her night was for 12 years. For the man at the pool of Bethesda, his night was for 38 years. But the night had a terminating date. Sarah in the Bible had a very long night, but then there was an expiry date. That is why I'm prophesying to the life of somebody here. Your days of weeping will expire. Your night will expire. And your day shall come. Your night shall expire. 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 Your day shall come. In the name of Jesus, let your amen roll like thunder. What's A? And what's B? C. Cure for troubled hearts. Cure for troubled hearts. In John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, we are looking at ABC of afflictions. Cure for troubled hearts. John 14. I read verse 1 and 2. If you are there, say yes. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. And what is the cure? Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Cure for troubled hearts is to have unshaken faith in God and His Son Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Can you say that and let me hear you? Say it again. Shout it loud. Shout it again. The instruction is to us. Say, let not. That heart will try to be troubled. That heart will want to meditate on the problem. Say, but let not that heart be troubled. If you approach prayer with a troubled heart, immediately you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, prayer blockers, they will call the attention of heaven to your heart. Look at this verse. Your word says, let not your heart be troubled. This one is allowing the heart to be troubled. Therefore, you cannot answer the prayer. They have used scripture now, the same scripture, to block your prayers. Because the instruction is quite clear. It didn't say you should tell God to come and remove your troubled heart. He said, let not. That is, it is your responsibility. It is you who will disallow your heart from being troubled. And you say, well, all those thoughts are passing through my mind. That's not a problem. It's not a problem if birds are flying all over your head. But when a bird lands on your head, there is something simple you can do. You can give it a serious blow and to move up from your head. Same thing. When those troubled thoughts come in, throw them out with the word of God. Throw them out with praise worship. Throw them out with speaking in tongues. Throw them out by getting yourself busy in something else. But let not that heart be troubled. Anybody who is in trouble and your heart is also troubled, then you are in double trouble. That's the truth. You are in trouble. Your heart is troubled. It becomes double trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. So the cure for troubled heart is unshaken faith in God and in His Christ. What is A? B?
C. D. Devil's part in testings. The devil's part in testing. In testings and trials. That is the part the devil's play in tests and trials. The devil's part in it. In Job chapter 1, verse 6. So in the problems that man faces, the devil plays some parts. That's the parts he plays. In Job 1, 6. If you are there, say yes. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Let me read that to you again. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. Devil's part in testings. The meeting was a meeting of children of God. They did not invite Mr. Devil to that meeting. But one way or the other, he managed to enter into that meeting. And the other sons of God who were invited could not pick him up. They didn't recognize him. He pretended to be one of them. He joined the meeting. He listened to the messages. He listened to the seminar. He listened to the instructions. He saw all those who came. He understood that some people are going to be blessed. He knew those who would receive breakthroughs. He already had their names in that meeting. He had information. This is where the testing of man starts. Sometimes where you think there is no enemy, that's where the enemy is. Sometimes when you think the whole place is clear, clean, is there you find the enemy amongst them. Sometimes even in the meeting of God's children, the devil comes there. And he says, our church is very powerful. There are no witches in our church. It's a lie. If there is no witch in your church, it's not a church. Because they will always send them there to go and destabilize what is being done. So they gather there. Just like this one now. Information they see. They get information. So whenever somebody's name is announced in heaven for breakthrough, there is an enemy that will get that information and will be trying to get something wrong here and get the person to miss that blessing. I'm praying for somebody here. Your breakthrough that has been announced in heaven, any power that wants to steal it shall be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. So through information that is available to the devil, it begins to test men. Carry out trials, afflict men. In the same Job chapter 2, verse 6, Job 2, 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. But save his life. So those people used to say that if God does not kill somebody, nobody can kill somebody. It's a lie. The devil has the power to kill. God told him here, said, don't kill him. Save his life. Save his life. So many people know that it's not their time to die. It's not God that killed them. It's the devil that kills them. Can you raise up your right hand in anger and shout this louder than anybody you can hear around you? Any problem assigned to kill me, in the name of Jesus. Mapiali katesa. Ribole kapende kayabo shanta. Your voice is not loud enough. Louder, 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 louder. In Jesus' name we pray. Are you understanding what I'm trying to explain? Yes or no?
So, in the life of man, there are 2 days.
The days of heaven and the days on earth.
Job was living his life quietly. He did not know that a meeting was taking place in heaven about him. He did not know that the devil was against him and was reporting him to heaven. So something had taken place in heaven. There is the day of heaven. There is the day of earth. The days of heaven decides what is going to happen in the life of a man. Then there is the day of manifestation. Between that day of heaven and day of earth, you can make an intervention so that the evil desire that was decreed will not happen to you. So that the covenant decision will not take place. Can you shout this again with anger? Covenant decisions on my life! Back fire by fire! In the name of Jesus! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. So there are tests and trials that God sends to make us strong, to make us better. It passes us through a fire of affliction so that we can come out as gold. But then there is another trouble that the enemy causes, that God has no hand in it at all. That is what D is trying to tell us. What is A? B? C? And D? Devil's part in test. And E? E? Everything is in the Father's care. Everything is in the Father's care. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. If you are there, say yes. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto a stature? So, everything is in the Father's care. And he says, don't worry your brain about it at all. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's go on, verse 28. And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God knows you need it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So everything is in your Father's care. So don't harm your health. Hand things over to God. Father in heaven knows. Father in heaven knows. He knows. Book of Matthew again, chapter 10, verse 29. Matthew 10, 29. If you are there, say yes. And not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whatever you are going through, Father in heaven knows. He knows and he will supply. He knows and he will move into the situation. He may not come when you want him at that time, but he will come on time and he will never come late. I think we're going to stop here. We'll continue next week on this, when you cannot live and you cannot die. But let it cling to your heart what we have dealt with today. A, as gold is tried in the fire, God tries us. B, but joy cometh in the morning. C, there is a cure for troubled heart. D, the devil plays a rough role in testings. E, everything is in the Father's care. Although the Bible says the earth is the Lord and his fullness thereof. And F, whatever you are going through, Father in heaven knows. We are going to pray now. Bow down your heads where you are. But you see, if you are here tonight, this first Wednesday of the year, and you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, do so very, very quickly now. By say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sing this song louder than anyone around you, and then pray this prayer as something to give you weapon for the year. Pray you to receive a key to move into the year. By the reason of anointing, every yoke must be broken. By the reason of anointing, every yoke must be broken. 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 Every yoke must be broken.
These are the days of the lecturing. God is moving in the paradigm. By the anointing, Jesus will prevail. Not by power, not by might,
not by might,
for my spirit is the Lord. Not by power, by power, not by power, not by might,
not by
spirit, but by. by the reason of anointing.
Every yoke must be broken.
Every yoke must be broken.
Hey! Hey! Louder! Louder!
Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke.
Your hands, your hands.
Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke.
Oh yes.
Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke must be broken. Every yoke.
Three things to kill right now. Can you shout this the way I'm going to shout my own? Say, yokes!
Go.
Bondage of stagnancy. Can you shout those three things loud? Your voice is not loud enough. Die! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to deal with these things. Yoke, embargo, bondage of stagnancy in my life. Something is happening here tonight already. Jesus' name we pray. That's better. With the louder voice again. Say, power of the night. Power of the waters. Power of the forest. Can I hear you shouting those three things? Let your voice be loud. Fight against me this year. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Papotali katenda kaya bushenda. Ribapiali katenda kaya bushenda.
Aha, 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 aha.
In Jesus' name we pray. Say, road blockers. Progress blockers. Money blockers. Can you shout those three things loud? Let your voice roar like thunder. A sign against me this year. You are a liar. In the name of Jesus. Yes.
Jesus. Bakapota Lika Tendarabu Santa. Devi boko sopola kaya boko shanta.
Bapie
rika sachende kayaba. Banakatanda ya boshende raba. Berike sachende kaya boshente raba. Bapola boko piali kataraba. Dakatanda kaya boko shente raba.
Boria, bori boko sopende kaya boshente raba. Balakatanda kaya shente boshente raba.
Jesus, name we pray. Finally, before you go home, this is a very serious prayer. Very serious prayer.
Oh God, Allah, put stones in my hand to bring down my Goliath.
Can I hear the sister saying this? Sisters, is that the loudest you can play it?
Brothers, let me hear you shouting it. Everybody together now!
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, decree it. The stones I will bring down my Goliath.
Let the stones come into my hands. Let the stones come into my hand. Let the stones come into my hand.
In Jesus' name we pray.
I have a word for somebody. I don't know who you are. But the Lord said I should tell you that within tonight and before next Sunday, something will happen that will change your destiny for good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, all the prayers we have prayed there tonight,
answer them by fire.
As your people go home, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. It is well with you. The Lord blesses you from Zion and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. A louder amen.